So Reyes in trouble as he starts the fourth inning, trailing it 2-0. Here's a drive deep to left center field. Snyder going back. He's out of room. This one is out of here. A three-run home run for Nelson Cruz. Four RBIs on the night. And Texas goes on top of the Jays 5-0 here in the fourth inning.
And that was the beginning of the end. Jojo Reyes gives up a leadoff double to Adrian Beltre, then a single by Michael Young. Jose Bautista kind of got crossed up by Beltre running in front of him or behind him, tried to tag him and then was late with the throw. And then Nelson Cruz did that. 5-0 then, 8-0 after 5, 12-1 after 6, and there was no comeback tonight. 12-2, the Texas Rangers beat the Blue Jays. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Adrian Beltre, Michael Young, and Nelson Cruz tonight, the 4-5-6 hitters for the Texas Rangers, combined to go 10-for-10 with 7 runs scored and 10 runs batted in, 8 of them for Cruz. That is how you get the job done in the middle of the order. Jojo Reyes was terrible. Sean Kemp was not much better. And the Blue Jays didn't hit. They got 3 hits. One of them was a line single to center field by Adam Lind. The other two were home runs by J.P. Arencibia. And that's that. The game was so awful that it hardly deserves to have a play of the game. But yes, that home run by Nelson Cruz was a play of the game, and it's brought to you by Speed Boost from Rogers. Hello, Speed Boost. Goodbye waiting. Another first only from Rogers. So the question I asked before we took the break is, have you had enough of Jojo Reyes? 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays are still in asset accumulation mode. I don't think there's any question of that. Jojo Reyes remains, at this point, an asset. He is only 26 years old. He still has a lot of control left. Not going to be a free agent for a long time. He has, however, been pretty bad, especially lately. He has given up 6 runs or more in 3 of his last 5 starts. And while he was going pretty well for a while there, he really was. But with tonight, in his last 11 starts, his ERA is well above 6. And just because I can't do the math in my head right away, I'll tell you. Because I need some help doing this math. Because math can be hard. But over JoJo's last 11 starts, what's interesting is that he's 5-5 over his last starts. Getting all choked up here talking about Jojo Reyes. It is kind of funny because while people were going on so much about the consecutive losses and how that meant he was awful, again, over his last 11 starts, he's 5-5. But his ERA is 6.46. With the 9 base runners he gave up tonight, he has given up 102 base runners in 61 1/3 innings for a whip of 16.63. The opposition is hitting well over 300 against him. It's not been good. I don't think they're going to cut him. Again, young, left-handed, big arm, lots of stuff, hasn't been able to put it together. Can't throw quality strikes, but that can change. And lefties often take longer to develop. That's a truism in the game. So I don't think they're going to cut him. And I think that if you send him down, you will lose him on waivers. I do think, though, that the Blue Jays may make some bullpen moves towards the trade deadline, which is 9 days away. And one hopes that if they open up a spot in the bullpen, they can send JoJo there. And we can have Jesse Litch or Zach Stewart or Kyle Drabek come up and take that spot in the rotation. Because I don't know about you guys, I have definitely had enough of JoJo in the starting rotation. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. To the phones we go, and we start the Jays Talk with Angelo in Niagara Falls. Angelo, you're the leadoff man.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and I hope my on-base percentage is pretty good for leadoff. But I was going to say exactly what you just said. I said, you know, I think I've had enough of JoJo in the starting role. I'd like to see him in the bullpen. I was going to say let's send him down. We've sent everybody else down this season to retool, and then you can't help out by explaining that, you know, you can't send him down. So, you know, Jabczynski can get in there if you want to do a flip-flop. You know, if Litch is ready to come up, if Stewart's ready to come up. You know, a lefty in long relief, you know, can be just as effective on a night when a Romero or a Cecil or a Drabek or a Morrow don't have their stuff. So, you know, it was frustrating, and I thought it was too bad that they left him in there. I thought after Cruz hit that home run, that three-run shot, I thought for sure he's getting the hug. And, you know, I'm really curious, and I'd love your opinion on this, why you think they did it.
Well, it was only the fourth inning.
Well, it was only the fourth inning, but he was terrible for four innings. It's not like he was, you know, okay, it was a good pitch that the guy hit and this and that, but
he wasn't terrible for four innings.
Well,
no, it was terrible.
Go ahead.
He had a 1-2-3 inning in the first. He had a 1-2-3 inning in the third. He was terrible in the second, and he was terrible for the first three batters of the fourth. You can't treat your starters like that. I mean, and then in the fifth, the strikeout, the wild pitch, they came and got him at a good time to get him. And it was too late. They weren't going to do anything tonight, but it would have been early to yank him right after he gave up that home run.
Well, and at the same time, you know, I thought Texas played a phenomenal game. And, you know, you're going to have that when teams just, you know, everything clicks. And with the exception of Beltre pulling the hammy, I mean, you know, good on Lewis for having a great pitching performance. The kid threw, what, 103, 104 pitches. The hitting was outstanding. I mean, sometimes you're just going to run into a truck. And that's, I think, what we did tonight. So, whatever, you know, you're going to lose a bunch of games, and, yeah, I mean, you've said it, right? You're going to win 50, you're going to lose 50. It's the other 62 that really make the difference. So let's chalk this up as one of the 50 that we just lost, and go get them tomorrow night.
Sounds good. Thank you, Angelo. A nice little voice of reason off the top. Excellent job as the leadoff man, I have to tell you. Yeah, this was one of those games that you were going to lose. Period. There's nothing that the Blue Jays could have done in this game. No little move, little mistake, big hit that they didn't get. None of that. This was one of those games that you were just plain going to lose. JoJo didn't help it. Corey in Newmarket.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I like what you're saying about maybe putting JoJo in the bullpen, especially since, I mean, like you said, 1-2-3 first inning, 1-2-3 third. I mean, it seems like he could go in there and be effective for an inning at a time or maybe a batter at a time, especially when you look at guys like Jabczynski. I mean, that guy's been money in the bank all season long out of the pen, and he was a guy who just didn't have the gas to be a starter, but they found a role for him.
It's funny you would say that because Jabczynski is tied for first on the team with blown saves, but... Well, I've got the same impression of him as you.
Yeah, the blown save thing, I mean, the Jays don't have a closer, and that's all there is to it. So, you know, you got to – everyone's going to have a share of blown saves in that bullpen.
Remember, too, with Reyes, that if you do put him out of the bullpen, then, you know, he can kind of go all out for 30 pitches and doesn't have to hold everything back, and that could improve things, too.
It's tough to watch them march JoJo out there every fifth day when you see Brad Mills and Drabek and Stewart, all these guys down at triple double A that are lights out. I mean, they might not be ready for the bigs yet, but it's tough to watch a guy get pounded around like he did tonight when we got so much young talent in triple A just waiting to come up and prove themselves.
Well, and a guy who's already kind of proven in the big leagues in Jesse Litch, who's down
yeah,
there in triple A as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate the call. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays aptly fall back to 500 at 50-50 through 100 games. They have been indeed a 50-50 proposition this year. The Blue Jays, they get just throttled tonight, 12-2 by the Rangers. Ivan in Toronto.
Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Go ahead.
I'm going to agree with you. Hopefully they free up a bit of space in the bullpen. I was at that game last week where I think he was starting against, I'm pretty sure he was starting against the Yankees.
First game after the All-Star break.
Yep, and we're lucky that Colon had an even worse game than Reyes did.
That was a game where JoJo almost gave back a 9-0 lead.
That's right, yep. And you know what? We can't afford that. We had our guys, hitting the ball well and getting a few breaks our way, and you gotta pounce on that. You can't let them back in. They're not, especially a team like the Yankees. You can't give them any reason to get back into the game. And lucky our boys had the bats going that night. If not, we could have lost that game. That would have been unfortunate.
Correct.
You know, so I'm gonna say let's you know, I know you're saying let's see how he goes, and hopefully they free up some space in the bullpen, but maybe they can swing a deal for him, because I know you're saying that lefties take a while to develop, a little longer than righties, but you know, we just can't afford to have them throw these games away. It's just not worth it.
Well, they can, though. That's the thing. Having JoJo Reyes go 6-14 this year, and I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, having the Blue Jays lose a whole big whack of games, and right now with this game, they are 9-11 in games that Reyes has started. So it hasn't been that bad. But let's say they were 3-17. Not going to make a difference. This team's not going to make the playoffs anyway. So this is the year where you can afford to do this and keep running them out there and seeing if it's ever going to click. But I, you know, 20 starts is plenty for me.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Adam. And that's it.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. If there's ever a year, and that's what building is all about, and whether you want to call it rebuilding or whatever you want to call it, rebuilding teams aren't often 50-50 through 100 games. But yeah, you can afford it this year. But 20 starts is a lot. Dave in Mississauga.
Mike.
Dave.
My favorite pitcher to watch was Sean Markham. I always felt he was in control. He had nasty stuff. But I like the trade because long term, I like the move, just because I think for the future, getting a guy like Lurie brings a whole lot of upside. Now, having said that, everything you've said I agree with. And the point of Reyes as a starter is pretty simple. He's a bum as a starter. The only way he's going to survive is out of the bullpen, get him there as quick as possible, bring in a bulldog like Litch, or bring somebody else in. At least with Litch, you always know you're in the game. With one of the younger guys, you know, maybe there's September call-ups, you spot start him, that type of thing. But from a standpoint of this guy as a starting pitcher, who knows? Maybe he goes to the bullpen for a year or two and all of a sudden becomes a revelation like a Carlos Villanueva, something like that. But at this particular stage, no, he's not a starter. From a standpoint of starting pitching, they got some live arms in the majors, but when I'm watching a baseball game and watching Reyes, I'm always on the edge of my seat. I never really have a comfort level. And I know the thing about Zemchinsky. Zemchinsky, what is it, the lowest average against or lowest ERA, whatever. I actually have the same feeling with him when I'm watching him pitch. It's like, can I really get comfortable with this guy? The answer is no, I can't. Now, maybe he gets better and better, and maybe the stats don't lie, blah, 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 blah. But having said that, there's certain guys I have a lot of confidence in when they're out there, and they're fun to watch, and, you know, there's a feeling of security with watching them. But no, Reyes, goodbye.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, I wonder how much your feeling of security translates to actual results, because Zepchinski has been one of the best relievers on this team this year, despite the fact that he has four blown saves, same as Frank Francisco. But I wonder if it's just, you know, it's confirmation bias and it's, that works both ways too. If there's someone you feel especially comfortable with, you will remember the positive far more than you'll remember the negative. With the other guys, vice versa. Personally, I can't believe that the Jays are 9-11 and JoJo Reyes starts. I never would have thought that. Closer, I would have said 7-13, maybe 6-14. But 9-11 is pretty impressive given how poorly he has started most nights. Chris is in Ottawa. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mike. I'm going to play the devil's advocate here because I remember a couple years ago I was reading something about starting pitchers, and they say that usually they break out after they've thrown between 400 and 500 innings in the majors and are 26 to 27 years old. So JoJo's 26 right now, and he's got, I think, around 300 innings, right? So he stays in the rotation, will be up close to 400 by the end of the year. And I know, like, the last, well, ever since he started winning games, pretty much, some of the lines have been pretty ugly. But, you know, if you remember earlier on in the year, I mean, he was giving them 7-plus on a lot of nights.
Yes, he was.
Giving them a chance to win. It was, you know, the bullpen or the offense or something when it comes through for him. And, you know, there's not a lot of left-handed starters that throw in the mid-90s. So I don't see why in a year like this.
He doesn't throw in the mid-90s. He touches.
Well, it's 93, 94,
doesn't
it?
He touches 93 and 94. He sits at 90, 91. But there aren't a lot of lefties who throw that hard even.
Because the other thing I don't want, like, everyone's talking about Zach Stewart, and he pitched okay the three starts he had here. But when you, I know you don't like looking at the minor league numbers, but the one thing I don't understand about the way they do things in the minors is why do guys like that only go 5-6 innings every time out? Like, wouldn't you want to try and, you know, get those guys when they're pitching, you know, in the minors to throw 7-8? Try and get into the ninth inning before you bring him up, especially if you have, like, the depth of starting pitching that Toronto has.
Personally, yes, I would love that. But they keep him on pretty strict pitch counts down there, and that's why I think you see the shorter outings. But, yeah, I mean, look at what Texas is doing with its young pitchers, and just cut them loose and let them go. And I'm not saying abuse them and make them throw 135 pitches every night, but, you know, every once in a while, let somebody get deep into a game and you know, watch the stressful innings and the stressful pitches thrown rather than just counting the pitches. That's what I would like.
No, I agree with you there. So that is what that is. Eh? It's just the managers down there can't have to hit a certain pitch count. That's it?
Oh, yeah.
yeah, the other thing about JoJo is, like, people are kind of talking about Zepchinski. But, like, with Zepchinski last year, like, when you saw him, you knew that if he was going to start, he could be like a Scott Downs because of the nasty slider and the way he faces lefties. Whereas with JoJo, I don't know what his numbers are against lefties, but, like, when I watch him, I don't see the same sort of dominance that a guy like Zep has over the left-handed hitter. So I don't really know that putting him in the bullpen is necessarily going to, you know, give him a more valuable role on the team. I think he's one of those guys, maybe he's got to start or that's it.
Well, Josh Hamilton was the only lefty in the lineup tonight for the Texas Rangers, and Hamilton went 0-for-3 against him. Overall in the season, lefties are hitting JoJo better than righties are hitting JoJo.
Well, there's my point.
But everybody's hitting him pretty well.
Maybe he can come in. Yeah, so I was going to say.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I appreciate the call and you know, you make the point about the 400 innings, and it's valid. it's valid. I don't think that they would let him get another 100 innings this year regardless, because he just hasn't had huge workloads in the past. But I think in the bullpen, you could really cut him loose for an inning and just say, you know, go get him. Fill your boots. Don't worry about pacing yourself. Hold nothing back. Get me 3 outs. And maybe down the line, once he gets comfortable, you give him another try, Villanueva style, throwing him back in rotation. Aaron is a Whippy. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Okay. Either your comments are condescending or Jojo Reyes is Mr. Condescending. Because the way that you broke down in some of his stats, like him being 5-5, which is okay, but then having an ERA of over 6, which isn't very good. You know, he pitches 2 out of 4 innings that are decent. I mean, to me, that's not a making of a decent pitcher. He's like, everything that I've been seeing or everything that I've been shown or been heard of Jojo Reyes is all condescending, which to me isn't really good, and it's not a good makeup of a pitcher. How do you feel?
I'm not sure you know what condescending means.
Well, maybe you're right. I thought it means like...
Tell me what you're trying to say in a different way.
I guess like a glass is half empty, half full. Like, you know, you see some of his stats, well, he's 6-6. Over 12 games.
Okay, gotcha. I think you mean the word you're looking for. I think is inconsistent, and I don't think that's an unfair categorization of Jojo Reyes at all. I think that he has been very up and down, and like you just said, all those numbers that we went through, some are good, some are awful. It seems as though he's not pitching well, but the team is doing well around him. And you see that the run support, I mean, I think in his last 9 starts before today, they were averaging like 7 1/3 runs of support. And almost no matter how badly you pitch, you're going to get wins when teams are scoring that much for you. So the question is, given all this inconsistency, what's the next move?
I would say, well, that's a good question. Maybe a bullpen fit him because that's about the only option you have for him. But is it that the team's making up for his lack of consistency, lack of abilities, perhaps?
The offense making up for that?
Yes.
The offense is definitely making up for the lack of consistency. I don't think there's a lack of ability. I think there's a lot of ability there, and I just think it hasn't come out yet on a consistent basis. And he has been, over the course of the last 11 starts, consistently bad. But they're 5-5 because he's been getting a lot of run support till tonight. And even tonight, I mean, if they'd scored 7 runs for him, wouldn't have mattered because he gave up 8. The Jays talk will continue extendo style all the way to midnight Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and on fan590.com. So keep those dialing fingers dialing at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will take a look at that Home Hardware Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard as the Honda postgame continues on the Blue Jays Radio Network.
2-2 hammer deep to left field down the line. If it stays fair, it's gone. It's a home run for Aaron Sebia. His 13th on the year, and he breaks out of a huge slump with this swing and in the process puts the Blue Jays on the board, breaking up the no-hit bid by Colby Lewis. First pitch of the inning. Hit in the air and deep towards center field. Back goes Gentry on the track at the wall. Leaps, and this one is out of here. This off the bat of J.P. Arencibia. His second long ball of the night.
And that's 2/3 of the Blue Jays' offense tonight. Both runs, 2/3 of their hits. J.P. Arencibia breaks out of the 0-for-16 with that first home run and then adds another one for good measure. Those were the only runs the Blue Jays would score. The Texas Rangers happened to score 12. 12-2, your final. The Jays 50-50 so far this season with 62 games to go. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. At 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. To get in on the conversation, you can follow me on Twitter and talk to me that way at Wilnerness590. But I prefer the phone stuff. Pick up the phone. If you can tweet, you can call. Probably. If you're in a really loud spot or something, you can only send a tweet. That's fine, too. Jim is in Toronto. Jim, you're up on the Extendo.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
After years of J.P. Ricciardi and head-scratching signings and things, I'm really into the Jays season this year and started last year. One of the reasons is, as a fan, you know, you see things like Juan Rivera and you say, why don't they drop this guy? And then they go ahead and drop him. And then you see things like, why is Encarnacion playing third? I mean, this guy's a DH. And then they make him the DH. And why isn't Thames up? And why isn't Lowry being called up? And they start doing it. The only thing is, we're saying, why don't they get rid of Reyes out of the starting rotation? And that's probably the only thing they haven't done yet. I mean, I know you say move him to the pen and try it. You know, you can give that a try, but I just think it's, you know, a losing battle. It's not like he's going to be part of the future. It's not like he's going to all of a sudden improve. The bottom line is he's not good enough at this level, and we got to move on. We got to bring the young guys up.
He is one of the young guys, though.
You know, he's not the young guy of the future. He's not a prospect like Dravik or Stewart. You know, I would rather see them struggle a bit and find their way. I would even be like, I put Lich in the same spot, though. Like, I don't care to see Lich, to be honest.
Lich is younger than Reyes.
Pardon me?
Lich is even younger than Reyes.
I know, but I don't see them as part of the solution. I see them as stopgap. I mean, Dravik's got stuff. Stewart, let's see if he's got the medal. I mean, definitely Morrow and Romero. Villanueva's a stopgap. We need three or four quality starters. Right now, we got two and two hopefully on the way, and maybe one through free agency. But there, you know, we're wasting time with Reyes and Lich and Villanueva. You know, if we're really going to shoot for this in next year or the year after, we have to see if Stewart and Dravik have the medal to do it. And anything to the contrary is just killing time.
Yeah, I don't agree with you. I don't think they're wasting time. I think that Kyle Dravik showed that he didn't have the medal, at least right away, to use your word. I think that hopefully he turns things around, and he had a good start last time in AAA, so that's nice. But the fact that, I mean, you don't see Reyes and Lich as part of the future when they very well could be not insignificant parts of the future. JoJo could be a fine relief pitcher. He may develop into a decent starter. Doesn't look like it now, but Lord knows there are a lot of guys who didn't look so good at 26 who look pretty good at 30 and 31. And Lich is someone who's really had nothing but success when he's been healthy in the major leagues. He's a smart pitcher, and he's a terrific athlete, fifth infield. And I, you know, I'm a huge fan of Jesse Lich, and I think he can be the fourth or fifth starter on a championship ball club. And I'd like to see him back up here. Jake is in Wasega Beach. You're on the Extendo Jays Talk.
Yeah, hey, Mike.
Hey.
I tell you, I completely second the last caller, but I'm coming at it from a different angle here. I watched the game the other day with Seattle, and I tell you, I did a double take with this Doug Fister guy. I swear I was looking at a young Roy Halladay. And not only just his mannerisms, his stuff was electric. He had this workhorse determination and all that. I thought, you know what? Seattle and the Jays did that super trade, you know, with Morrow and League. And the state that Seattle's in, and Fister's sitting there with three wins, even though he should be having a ton more. I mean, he had six starts without even a run. I thought, wouldn't that be a great a combination? You know, Romero, Morrow, and Fister. And I tell you, I would package Cecil, JoJo, and if you have to throw Lich in, do it.
I wouldn't do that if I was Seattle, would you?
What did you think of this guy, this Fister? Doesn't he look like the up and coming? I mean,
yeah, I'm not going to say he reminded me of Roy Halladay, but
really?
He's been a very good pitcher in the big leagues for a couple of years now.
I mean, he even looked like Roy Halladay to me.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
So if you're Seattle, do you not know what you have?
I don't think the Seattle. Well, you know what? They could be really, you know, desperate.
And why?
Just because of the year they're having.
Wouldn't that, I mean, if you're going to be.
Look at it this way, Mike.
All right.
They gave Morrow away, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they do have the guy who's leading the league in saves.
That saves. This is different. This Morrow could have very well have the best stuff on our team.
Yes, he could. Yes, he could.
You know?
But Morrow was a guy who for years had frustrated them and hadn't pitched to his potential. Pfister is not that. I understand that you think he's really good.
I would think that if Pfister got on our team, Romero might end up being the third starter.
You're not going to get him for Brett Cecil and JoJo Reyes and maybe throw in Jesse Litt.
Well, then whatever it takes, you might have to, maybe this time to get, to have three outstanding starters is what the Jays need.
Well, and they've got a few in the pipeline that they're not going to need to trade a whole bunch for, you know, as good as Pfister has been. As good as Pfister has been, I don't love the fact that he doesn't strike people out, but I like him. Not going to give up the farm for him when you've got tons of young pitching on the way. Adam in Thornhill, welcome aboard.
Mike, I'm just concerned with one thing. With the rumors talking about how we're potentially going to give trade a couple of the bullpen guys away,
yeah.
I'm concerned about one thing, which is Jason Frazier. I don't really want to see this guy go. And it's not because of the numbers he's put up this year. I really just think he's been very consistent over the course of his career with the Blue Jays. I think he's Mr. Reliability. And I think if you build a bullpen for the future, say 2-3 years from now, whatever, I really believe that Frazier should really be a part of that.
In 3 years, Jason Frazier's going to be 37 in 3 years.
Yeah, so... Octavio Dotel's 38. There's lots of.
Are you going to build your bullpen around him, though?
No, I'm saying if you have him and you keep Zebchinski and you keep a couple, like, I don't want to see them completely fire sale the entire bullpen.
Well, they're all going to leave after this year, more than likely.
Are they all free agents?
Frazier, Camp, Roush, Dotel, and Francisco are all free agents after this season.
Okay, and next question. I know it's like, you know, dogmatic, you know, dreamer question, but any chance that these cats will open up the wallet and try and get Albert Pujols? And I'll submit to you why. Obviously, we don't need to talk about how great the guy is.
Right.
But I think that if you go out and you spend the money on that on Albert Pujols, even if it costs you $25, $30 million a year.
And it will.
He's the obvious. He wants 10 years from what I'm reading right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, St. Louis hasn't given that to him to this point.
Right.
The Yankees and the Red Sox are all inked up with first baseman Teixeira, Gonzalez, etc. So not many teams have that kind of money to be able to throw around, you know, $250, $300 million at a player. But what I'm submitting to you is that the money that they would spend on Albert Pujols would potentially come back to them tenfold.
I don't disagree with that, and I'm up against an update, so I got to let you go. I don't disagree with that. I don't think Albert Pujols would come here. Period. End of story. I don't think Albert Pujols would come to Toronto. The Cubs are going to make a really big pitch for him. The Cardinals will make a really big pitch for him. I believe the Yankees will make a really big pitch for him. Yes, they have Mark Teixeira, but there's nobody DHing there. And I think the Red Sox could even find a spot for him. David Ortiz is getting old. I think the Blue Jays would go after Albert Pujols. I don't think Albert Pujols would come here. Rob Wong's got an update. More Extendo on the other side of that. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. It's Extendo Jays Talk on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Nelson Cruz grounds one to short and passed into center field. That's a base hit. That will score two, making it 12-1 Texas. Two more RBIs for Nelson Cruz. That's eight on his night. A new career high.
Nelson Cruz drives in eight of the 12 runs the Texas Rangers score tonight. But that's only two-thirds. J.P. Arencibia drove in 100% of the runs that the Blue Jays scored. Of course, there were only two home runs by J.P. Arencibia. 12-2, the Texas Rangers win it. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. Gregor Chisholm, who is the MLB.com beat reporter for BlueJays.com, said that John Farrell, when asked about Jojo Reyes' future in the rotation, said, "We just got done 5 minutes ago. We've got to regroup, prepare for tomorrow, and put together another solid game." So that's as much of a non-answer as is humanly possible, I would think. A lot of times you will hear, he's going to pitch in 5 days. Now, in 5 days, the next time Jojo Reyes is scheduled to pitch, the Blue Jays are facing the Baltimore Orioles. And if there's anybody you're going to get right against, it's not Seattle, it would be the Baltimore Orioles. So maybe Jojo does get that one more start, and that would be his last prior to the trade deadline. Because Lord knows you don't want to put him out there against Texas again. And that's who the Blue Jays face next. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Interesting goings on with the Tampa Bay Rays, who lost 10-4 to the Kansas City Royals tonight. Pulled B.J. Upton after 8 innings and called up Desmond Jennings from AAA, who's their center fielder of the future. Mark Topkin of the St. Pete Times just tweeted that he spoke to B.J. Upton, and Upton says he has not been traded. But Reed Brignac was in Joe Maddon's office, and now, just a minute later, Topkin sending out the word that Brignac has been sent out and Desmond Jennings has been called up. Very interesting. You're bringing in an outfielder for a shortstop. And maybe that means that B.J.'s time is running out with the Rays, but for now, he hasn't been traded. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. So John Farrell, non-committal. Want to know from you guys, you had enough of Jojo Reyes as a starting pitcher with the Blue Jays. Is it time to cut bait? Mike is in Toronto. Hey, Mike.
Hey, man. Yeah, non-answer. The irony is pretty thick after 30 minutes holding on line. But anyway, couple of things. Your colleague, Gord Stellick, had that wicked trade, Russ Cortinel. Let's talk about the Sean Markham trade for Brett Lowry. And what's Sean Markham doing in Milwaukee right now?
He's having a pretty good year.
Yeah, and he's having a great year.
Yeah, pitching the NL Central, he's having a good year. He would be having a good year with the Blue Jays, too.
Yeah, but he's not pitching for the Blue Jays anymore.
That is correct.
So wouldn't it be great if he was?
Then they'd be six games out instead of 10 games out?
Starting pitching stinks.
But it doesn't.
And wouldn't it be great if we had him? And on top of that, wouldn't it be great if we also still had Doc?
Yes, but it would also be great if we all had a pet unicorn. And there are the same odds of having Roy Halladay.
I wish I had a Ferrari in my garage, but I don't. I don't.
Exactly.
I have a Chevrolet, but I'd still prefer to have Markham and Doc, and we would be winning the division.
There is the same chance of the Blue Jays having Roy Halladay as you having a Ferrari in your garage.
Well, how do you know that? Maybe I do.
Do you?
No, I don't.
No, I didn't think so.
Okay, fair enough. I said I had a Chevrolet. But nevertheless, the point I'm making is that, I mean, like your colleague.
I understand the point you're making. I do. And like my colleague Bob McCowan is wont to say,
yes.
If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we would all have a Merry Christmas. Roy Halladay was leaving the Blue Jays after 2010, and we go over this all the time. Roy Halladay was not going to be here, period. Sean Markham could have been here, and Sean Markham would have left after next year. And this year, he would have been the Blue Jays' third best starter behind Romero and Morrow. And next year, he might have been the fourth. And Brett Lowry has a chance to be a significant impact offensive player who plays 150 games a year for a long time. at this stage in a team's development, I think it was the right move to make. If Markham was still here, instead of being 50-50, the Blue Jays might be 54-46. And instead of being 9.5 games out of a playoff spot, they might be 5.5 games out of a playoff spot. And in the overall, they really wouldn't be in that much better shape. Brian in Toronto. Hey, Brian.
Good evening. I just wanted to ask you, you mentioned earlier that it's a truism in baseball that left-handers take longer to develop than right-handers, and that just sort of sat me up. I'd never heard that. I'll hang up if you could just talk about that for a minute. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all I know, to be honest with you, is that that's what they say, and that's what generations upon generations of baseball people have said. Takes a long time for most left-handers to come around, to find their, to hit their stride, to find their stuff. More so than right-handers. I don't know why. I don't know why left-handers can't wear their hats straight either. There's something to do with the rotation of the earth and the axis and whatever. I've heard this. I don't know, but I do know that if you throw with your left hand, it often doesn't matter whether or not you can get people out on a consistent basis. You will always have a job in the major leagues, or you will for an awfully long time. And I do know that most people believe that it takes a long time for lefties to put it all together. And that's one of the reasons you see them kicking around for so long. And then when they get to their sixth or seventh team, a lot of the times, eventually it clicks in. That's one of the reasons they're holding so tight onto JoJo Reyes. But who knows for how much longer? Again, John Farrell sidestepped the question after the game of how long JoJo was going to remain in the rotation. His next scheduled start is against the Baltimore Orioles, and that would be his last scheduled start prior to the trade deadline, the non-waiver July 31st trade deadline. Which is not to say that someone's going to trade for JoJo Reyes, but it is to say that the Blue Jays may make a move with their pitching. They may deal a reliever and open up a spot in the bullpen that JoJo could take. That's certainly a possibility. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Lines are open on the Jays Talk. I want to know if you've had enough of JoJo Reyes as a starter, or if you think it's worthwhile sending him out there. Because after all, the Blue Jays tend not to do so badly when he pitches. As frustrated as everyone is with JoJo Reyes' inconsistency at best, consistent underperformance at worst, they still have won 9 of the 20 games that he started. Peter is in St. Catharines. Peter.
Yes, Mike, I'm just going to say about this about that. Reyes, I think, is, I agree with you, Reyes probably has a best before date has expired.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's what you think too, right?
I don't know that his best before date has expired. Okay. Should release him. I think it's about time to give somebody else a chance to be in this rotation.
Right. Jesse Litch, Kyle Drabeck, or someone.
Yeah, Jesse Litch, I think. Litch has done nothing to warrant being in AAA. He's only there because he's got options and Reyes doesn't.
Okay. What I wanted to call today about is I still have more thoughts about, and I've been thinking about this the last couple of days now as we approach Roberto Alomar's Hall of Fame induction. Number one, I think, I know we can't go back and revisit history, but two things. Number one, he should have played his whole the rest of his finish the rest of his career with the Blue Jay as a Blue Jay, and number two, even after he played for who was it, Cleveland or Baltimore or whoever it was.
Tampa was the last team he went to spring training.
He should have come back with the Blue Jays for one final season. But
well, he left. Yes. Let's not forget that. Yes. He wanted to play for a winning team. He was not happy with the direction in which the Blue Jays were headed after 1995.
Right.
He left.
Yes.
So and whether he should have played his whole career or not.
I agree with the fans booing him long after the after the Hirschbeck incident.
Well, that's what fans do.
Yeah. And one more thing.
Yeah.
I just want to say that's terrific that Jerry Howarth is taking this weekend series off to be in Cooperstown for the induction.
Well, you know what? Jerry was there for every game Roberto Alomar played with the Blue Jays all those 5 years. And more importantly, Jerry's been with the team in some capacity since 1980 and was here with Pat Gillick for 14 years. So it's doubly important for Toronto, and it would have been perfect if this had been Tom Cheek's year, and unfortunately it wasn't. But we're hopeful that that's happening soon too. But yeah, this is going to be a huge weekend for Toronto, for Canada, because Dave Van Horn is going in tomorrow. And Jerry Howarth is, he's been a voice of baseball in Canada for the last 30 years. And good for him. I agree with you. And I hope he has a great time. He does deserve it. Blue Jays deserve better than they got tonight. I'll tell you that. They lose 12-2 to the Texas Rangers to begin this three-game series and this three-game road trip. And that's it. Three-game road trip. But even with this loss, and even with the grand slam in the eighth inning yesterday, the game that they went on to win, might I add, they've still won 8 of their last 11. And they're a 500 team at 50-50. And the good news today was J.P. Arencibia hitting a couple of home runs. J.P. Arencibia has had a very, very hard time in the month of July. He was 0-16 going into that at bat in the sixth inning when he went deep. He had had a previous 0-17 in this month of July. So nice to see him and hopefully snapping out of this slump. We'll see how he does the next couple of games. I'm sure he'll play one of them. We will be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock for the pre-game show. Then we will hook up with Alan Ashby and Tim Crabtree and the rest of the country at 7:30. First pitch at 8:07. Carlos Villanueva against Matt Harrison as the Blue Jays try to bounce back, win their fourth in five, and Texas their third loss in the last four games. Tonight it didn't happen. Thanks to Faiso. Thanks to Dylan Brown. Thanks to all of you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Jeff Sammet Show coming up. Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.